Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
We're certainly encouraged by the Pope's words. I think this shows that the church perhaps is finally ready to move into the future. The rules that have always applied still apply. Priests aren't allowed to engage in any sort of sexual activity, whether that's gay or straight. So by him saying that he's not going to judge gay priests, I think that's a positive step forward. We certainly hope that that translates into deed and hopefully change in church policy or church doctrine, because LGBT Catholics really need the support of their church. So I'm hoping that this signals that that's the route the church is going to go.
That's Paul Uguer. He's spokesman for Human Rights Campaign, speaking on behalf of, as he says, LGBT Catholics, who hope that what they've heard from the Pope over the last week or so signals an actual change in the church's teaching. Does it? That's the real question. The Pope is now famously being quoted as saying he will not judge in the case of gay priests. Does that mean that the church's teaching is or has been or will be changing on the issue of homosexuality and the priesthood? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 31st of July. Helen Hole Hitchcock will be joining us to answer that question about Pope Francis and a question about whether or not Pope Francis is a liberation theologian. Does he believe in a kind of socialist or Marxist revolution as a means of liberating people from socioeconomic the bondage as opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ? A little bit later, Pastor Larry Bean will be our guest. We're going to talk about the need for Christian dignity. What he means there is kind of the gravity, the gravitas, as they used to say, of Christianity, especially in its worship. Why is it needed? Why is it important? Brett McCracken will join us after that. There's been much floating around in the news about the millennial generation and why they are leaving the church. It's a good question. Is the church not cool enough for them? We'll see in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Then, later on in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., we're going to spend some time talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. How can you be certain? Sure. Two words that are kind of falling out of favor in American parlance. How you can be certain, sure, and assured that you are a Christian. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Helen Hole Hitchcock is a regular guest, founding director of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. Helen, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
The Pope has been much quoted. There's been a lot of coverage in the media over these statements.
You're right about that.
Tell me, does his statement or even his fuller statements that are often not quoted, do they signal some kind of change imminent in Roman Catholic teaching vis-a-vis gay priests?
No. To put it simply, no. He has very strongly supported all doctrinal teachings, and even the remark that was taken completely out of context, where he is alleged to have said that being homosexual priest is okay. He did not say any such thing. What he said, and we will presumably the Vatican will have an English transcription of that entire conversation that he had with journalists on the trip back from Brazil on the plane. I guess you know about that. He had an hour and 20 minutes, and the only thing we hear about from the press is this distortion of what he said about homosexual people. What he said was, should I quote it?
Please do. I think it'd be nice to hear what he actually said.
Okay. Well, this was at the very end of an hour and 20 minutes of interviews that he'd given, and he covered everything on that, including the beatification of and the making Pope John the 23rd and John Paul II will be canonized later this year. That started it. It went on for an hour and 20 minutes, and the last question he responded to was people who had homosexual tendencies and homosexual activities. They were, there was a news about quote-unquote gay lobby, and by lobby they mean people who are, you know, promoting homosexuality, active homosexuality in the, you know. He was talking about that. He was responding to that question, and he said about that people should are called to fulfill God's will in their lives, and if they're Christians, that they have, you know, they have, you know, a responsibility to not to sin. And if a person has deep-seated homosexual tendencies, he said, if a person, if, who am I to judge a gay person of goodwill who seeks the Lord? Now, as you know, there is an awful lot to unpack in that statement. A person of goodwill who seeks the Lord is presumably, you know, repenting of their homosexual activity. What he said was, you know, what he meant was that, you know, the person who has an inclination to be homosexual, that's not in itself sinful, the inclination. What is sinful, as I'm sure that most believing Christians would agree, is acting on an impulse that is objectively sinful. And he did not say anything to suggest that there was any change in that. The Catechism says that, he quotes the Catechism on this, and he said the Catechism says that a homosexual person, person who has homosexual inclination should not, this is a quote, should not be marginalized because of this, but they must be integrated into society. And that, he talks about a gay person of goodwill who seeks the Lord is someone that he's not judging the interior part of their soul. But that was, you can imagine, just using those words just sets the press and the comment boxes on the internet crazy.
So he's really been, the statement's been pulled from context in two senses. One, the subject was more generally kind of the gay lobby or the gay activist movement that has been so much in the news surrounding the Vatican. That was the broader context. And a failure to understand how his statements line up in the context of settled Catholic teaching on the subject.
That's right. And he, earlier in that same interview, he had, you know, someone asked him about women's ordination, and that's not permissible in the Catholic Church, and he reaffirmed that. But then he said, you know, women are very important in the church, like Mary was important, and the women who have been wonderful workers, like Mother Teresa and so on. And so he said that women are very important in the church. But, I mean, that was in the same conversation, but he reaffirmed that the church is not changing its teaching on the ordination of women. That's just impossible. So, I mean, this was a wide-ranging wide-ranging interview that he gave, and the comments that we're talking about, he said, this is what he said, too, at the gay lobby thing. He said, when I meet a gay person, I have to distinguish between their being gay and being part of a lobby. If they accept the Lord and have goodwill, who am I to judge them? They shouldn't be marginalized. And, you know, the tendency to homosexuality is not the problem. The problem is acting on that tendency. And that's what he said.
Real quickly, it's only about a minute before we touch upon another subject here. Do you think it is wishful thinking on the part of the media in covering the Pope this way? They seem to have established something of a pattern of hoping that this Pope will radically depart from Catholic teaching.
Oh, yes. They exaggerate the difference between his mode of operation, you know, his style, and Pope Benedict. Their style is different, but their teaching is the same. There isn't any difference in that. And that's the thing that I think that those who dissent from church teachings and who object to basic Christian teachings on morality, whether it's marriage or homosexuality or whatever, And they, you know, those who dissent from the teaching of the church are hoping that the Pope who changes the style is also going to change the substance. And that is not going to happen. And he's made that clear in a lot of ways.
This is a Pope who is a Pope of poor people, of the slums, and now of young people. And he wants to have a revolution. He wants people to recognize that the gospel of Jesus is revolutionary. People in Latin America who are liberation theologians say that he may not use the word, but he certainly talks the talk. His concern for the poor, his desire to empower the poor to take responsibility and to be part of the community, this is very important for him. He doesn't use the word liberation theology, but his message is very close to it.
That's Father Thomas Rees, featured this weekend on PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly. Helen, I wonder about that. First of all, what is liberation theology, and is Pope Francis an advocate of it?
Well, that's a little complex, but liberation theology is actually the proponents of liberation theology were actually based. They're basing their social teaching on Marxist ideology, and to the extent that it is participates in that, that is wrong. The kind of liberation that you might say that the Pope and the Catholic Church, all the popes, as a matter of fact, are to liberate the poor, to make them to have social teachings that are completely in accord with what the Church has taught from the very beginning. We read the Beatitudes, and that's the theology of liberation, you might say, that the Church teaches, not the liberation theology that is based on Marxist interpretation. And that's, this is not what he's talking about. He's not talking about that.
Helen Hull Hitchcock is our guest. She's founding director of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. When we come back, more on the new Pope and liberation theology.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the Church Bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. Issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Helen Hull Hitchcock is our guest. We're trying to dispel a few misconceptions that are being perpetuated of late in the press about Pope Francis. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 31st. Helen, we heard before from Father Thomas Rees, who said essentially, well, this pope doesn't use the language so much of the liberation theologian, but that's his message. And I wonder, with all due respect to Father Rees, whether or not he's kind of got it backwards. It sounds like this pope does employ the language common to liberation theologians, but his message, what he means by those words, is quite different from the traditional problematic theology of liberation theology.
That's right. I think it's probably important for listeners to realize that Father Rees, who is also a Jesuit, by the way, he's a writer for a magazine that is constantly criticizing Catholic doctrine and moral teaching on a wide range of issues. But on the business of liberation theology, I think the language is confusing for practically everybody who thinks about it. But let's look at it from the point of view of someone like Mother Teresa. Now, nobody would call Mother Teresa a liberation theologian, but she saw Christ in the poor. This is the attitude that, you know, authentic Christian teaching about our regard for the poor and what we Christians are obliged to do, we can start reading that in Matthew chapter 5, in what Jesus says in the Beatitudes, for example. And that is totally Christian moral teaching. Where it gets off track is when somebody tries to say that is similar to or equate it with something called liberation theology, which has Marxist roots. Now, you can't find anything more radically different in a lot of ways than Marxism and Christianity. But that's where we need to make distinctions.
How widespread is liberation theology in its various forms? There's kind of a South American brand. There's a feminist brand in the West. There's even a black liberation theology. How widespread is it in the Roman Catholic Church, would you say, Helen?
Within the church, I would say it's not that widespread. It's certainly not in the United States. There is an appeal, I think, in South America and where it started, really, with and one of the people who was involved in one of the most influential people who promoted that idea was also a Jesuit, by the way. We can call anything theology, and, you know, feminist theology or liberation theology or whatever, and just the word theology doesn't mean that it's truly about God or about true belief. And that's, I think, another thing that's sort of confusing about it, because when you say something is a theology, that seems to give it a certain kind of respectability that the actual teaching or the actual doctrines that they espouse are not consistent with Christian teaching. That's one of the difficulties with it, but I don't think it's that widespread, certainly not in this country. But it is. It has been a big influence in South America.
Coming back around to where we started on the subject of the LGBT lobby and the statements that the Pope has been making and how they've been covered in the press, do you find it interesting that, and or ironic really, that the LGBT lobby is suddenly interested, suddenly cares about what the Pope has to say?
Well, I think they care because they think that they can somehow use it to their advantage, and that's a problem that we always have. This is not new, although the social media and the press and the internet makes it much more difficult to deal with. But some of our church leaders have, shall we say, chinning up to the mic and defending the faith in a very courageous way, and defending Pope Francis, as a matter of fact, from misinterpretations that are being given in the media. One of those is Cardinal Timothy Dolan, formerly of St. Louis, but now the Archbishop of New York, and he's also the president of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And he actually went on CBS a couple of days ago to respond to the misinterpretations of the Pope in the matter of gay lobby thing. And he, you know, he clarified what the Pope had said on that, noting that secular media outlets in the U.S. were highlighting that the Pope said, "Who am I to judge?" But a lot of people can see that this is, there's something wrong with this. And Cardinal Dolan said that the Catechism of the Catholic Church explains it very well, and that the problem is not the homosexual orientation, because there are brothers and sisters too, and that's what the Pope said. But the problem is the sin, the acting on evil, impulses that are not Christian.
With only a minute, how much longer do you think the tendency on the part of either the press or these interest groups to basically, they're all trying to lay claim to this Pope as he's new, rather unknown, and make him the spokesman for their various agendas? How long until they finally realize
that
the Pope
is
Catholic?
That is an interesting question, and a lot of us are interested in seeing how that plays out. And one of the things that I think that people who dispute church teachings and who want and hope that he is going to overturn church teachings, they're going to be very disappointed, because he's not going to do that. Things that he's written, things that he's said in, not off the cuff, but his actual writings and what he has reaffirmed church teachings in every possible respect, there just isn't going to be a change. And of course, when the media that are now hanging on his every word and hoping to be able to use it for their own purposes discover that, they will probably fall out of love with him pretty soon. Because Christian teaching, as we know, contradicts the world. We are to be in the world, but not of it, as St. Paul told us.
Helen Hull Hitchcock is founding director of a Catholic women's organization based in St. Louis called Women for Faith and Family. You'll find a link to that organization at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Helen, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, thank you.